Welcome to another episode of The Connected Show. I am Ruben Torres, connected with Ruben Torres. Just want to thank everybody for tuning in. We have kind of been all over the place these past couple weeks, or past couple months, actually. We just got done doing the Love Thy Neighbor event here in San Diego at the Qualcomm Stadium, and things have been kind of madness, but things are coming down now, and we're back to recording a few more episodes, and we just got in touch. My boy Mike Kellerman, South Bay Mike, Tattoo Mike, hooked us up with Andy Vargas. He happened to be tattooing Andy Vargas, which is the singer for Carlos Santana, the Santana Band, and you know, it was a nice little treat hanging out with him. We went out, we had dinner, and then and he was out here for a couple of days. So the day of his event, we headed over to his hotel over in downtown San Diego and had a chance to sit and chat with him. And you kind of wish, like, you know, every conversation we're having was recorded, because, you know, we just soaked up so much knowledge. And he loves doing stuff with the community and doing stuff with the inner city youth and all kinds of stuff, man. And it was a blessing to be around this guy. And, you know, he offered to do this podcast with us, and, you know, it was just a blessing. So blessing to be around this guy, and, you know, hopefully we get to do a lot more with him. He's already kind of confirmed he's going to be joining us on December 11th here in San Ysidro at the Love Thy Neighbor's 7th Annual Toy Drive. So we're all in for a treat. He's going to come down and bring his band, the Soleros. So it's going to be a nice little treat for us here in December. But this episode is brought to you by Milton Motion. Make sure you guys check us out. MiltonMotion.com. Check out my boy Tim Hernandez doing photography, video, websites, all kinds of cool stuff. So make sure you check them out. Also, wanted to make sure you guys keep subscribing, leave a review, you know, rate, all that good stuff on iTunes. Make sure you guys kind of help keep us on the charts over here. So things have been good, man. If anybody is interested in linking up for any of the new Love Thy Neighbor stuff that we got going on, make sure you reach out to us. Send me a direct message so we can get some stuff cracking. Anyway, let's go ahead and get into this interview with Andy Vargas. Check him out. Get connected. Yo, if you're C-O-N-E-C-T-A-D-O, you already know about the show, so let's go. It's your music and lifestyle, fashion profile, the entertainment source for everything you want to know about. North to the south, the east to the west side, stay connected with Ruben Torres worldwide, so let's go. Across the globe, well respected, beasting on an industry. Connected. Andy, thanks for the invite to come by your hotel, man, and hang out with you. Dude, we got to go out to dinner the other night. Thanks for hanging with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Dude, you got a lot of friends out here in San Diego, man. Tell me about that.
Oh, well, you know, first my trip to San Diego started off with having a nice reconnection with my buddy Mike Kellerman, you know, and, you know, he gave me, he's a tattoo artist here. Mm-hmm. And you know, well known, and one of the only tattoo artists that I really, really do trust. You know, he gave me one of my first tattoos in a hotel room in London, and you know, because that, you know, I mean, I totally, you know, just put a faith in that, and you know, he was a very connected spiritually human being, and that was enlightening at that moment. It was a, you know, definitely turning point in my life and stuff. And he was out there with the group POD, and who are also some good friends of mine, you know, here in town. You know, also Marcos Krull is, you know, a good friend, and he got together with him here as well. I have, you know, a good friend of mine that I used to work a lot with in Los Angeles. His name's Chuck Prada, yeah. And he's a percussionist, producer, and stuff. And he's here in town. Came back into town, nice. To you know, raise his family and DJ around town and stuff. So, got to hang with you, and you know, it's been an amazing couple of days here, kind of fulfilling. Yeah. But that's what we get when you open up to, you know, to all possibilities. You know, you just
you were down at Barrio Logan too.
Yes, yes, I got to see Badio Logan for the first time, and find out a lot about the you know, the culture, the history, and you know, I knew a lot of I've seen a lot of pictures of when Cesar Chavez was there, and you know, then I got to see, you know, all the murals and stuff of him and things, and I'm actually looking forward to hopefully being involved in some of the festivities that they have down there and things. Also, you know, meeting with you, Ruben, and your, you know, organization and nonprofit that you have here, you know, us talking about, raising, you know, some toys and, raising funds possibly if we can, I'd love to help you do that as well. And, you know, seeing if we can raise the awareness is what I'm trying to say, of you know, the Christmas time, bringing joy into kids' lives, you know, over in Tijuana.
Yeah, it's needed, man. It's needed. It's needed. You before we get into the business side of it, you have a foundation yourself, Danny Vargas Foundation. Tell me about that.
I do. You know, it's something that started because of my interaction with other nonprofits and other foundations. And we decided that it would be a really good idea for me personally to have my own in partnership with, you know, other people that became a board for me. And then, you know, we can therefore interact a little bit easier as a group, you know, and a little more organized. And that's how, you know, the Andy Vargas Foundation got started, with, you know, the work that I do with, you know, nonprofit, for-profit schools, charter schools, cancer organizations, some children homes, you know, in Malibu, there's some children's homes that they have out there, for, children that come from, you know, broken families and broken homes and things in the Los Angeles area. I've also been doing, you know, keynote speaking and things like that. Yeah. And so having a foundation, you know, just gives you a little bit more liberty to be able to do those things easier. My foundation, what we, you know, really want to do is we want to do outreach. So we want to be able to help other foundations that are doing things. Maybe they need help in certain areas, you know, and so we can collaborate that way in whatever way it is, you know. And then also we one thing that we molded into was helping and mentoring, you know, high school kids in entertainment, you know, in the entertainment world, you know, video, audio, music, photography, you know, all things. And because in my world of people that I work with, I have, you know, I have people that, you know, work in all those areas. So having this foundation, we're able to then, you know, have them help the kids if we find kids that, you know, that are looking to get involved in certain areas, right, of entertainment. You know, we can mentor them, we could talk to them, we could show them, you know, how the, you know, the world and the internet's, you know, really, you know, it's right there for them to, you know, to reach their dreams and start working on their careers very easy, you know, and open up a little light in their head and give them some inspiration, you know.
Are you doing most of this in the LA region, or are you spreading it out?
So right now we're starting in LA because, you know, I don't want to bite more than I can chew, you know. So just starting personally with some kids and really giving the focus and opportunity for them to really, you know, I mean, and it starts from donations or, you know, I've been really putting in a lot of my time, effort, and money into it myself. You know, like if we, there's an engineer who's really, really just, he's going to be amazing, you know. And I really took him on as a, you know, a young prodigy, you know. And so sometimes they need counseling, brothership, you know, sometimes they need, you know, like a laptop, you know, to get some work done, you know, no computers at home or anything, but they, you know, but they know the stuff, you know, whatever it is that I can do, you know, I'll do, and with whatever free time that I have. And hopefully what we can do is then if we encourage the kids and get them early, then, you know, when it comes time for them to, you know, get into a career or like really when they're really, you know, ready to take on a job, either they can come and work with me on projects on a professional level, or we can, you know, put them in touch with, you know, other people of our, you know, other friends and, you know, coworkers and things that are doing projects, and we can vouch for them and kind of watch and guide them, you know. Mm-hmm. And again, these are kids that can go the other route pretty early, mm-hmm. you know, and if you give them a little of the, you know, these days for me, you know, there are a lot of, you know, I noticed just where maybe I could have made different decisions in my, you know, mm-hmm. youth. Mm-hmm. And I like to inspire from what I know and my inspirations and my belief and my faith, and then also share others that are around mm-hmm. me too, you know, faith and stuff, and really put, you know, give as much inspiration that I can to the kids, because really you just need to like turn on a light switch somehow, yeah, whatever yeah. that light switch is, because then they'll grow in their own way mm-hmm. by their own experiences,
yeah, that's true.
You know, and you know, once you just kind of, you know, kind of guide them a little bit, you know, in that way, they say it's easier to you know, to lead by example,
yeah,
you know. That's so really, just by having them around sometimes, it just,
and knowing how important mentoring is, you know, now you're mentoring kids, do you, or did you, at, you know, at one point early on, did you have a mentor that was kind of, you know, taking you under their wing and, hey man, this is the way things should be, or this is the direction you should go? Did you have a mentor or still have a mentor?
I can say probably that I've had many, but just, you know, off the top of my head, you know, first my father musically and spiritually was my first, you know, definitely mentor and teacher, you know, and trusted teacher, you know. Next was a gentleman named Terry Melcher in Monterey, Carmel. He was like my first entertainment, like, manager and producer, and kind of like, you know, he just did it. You know, he was an old school cat that's been around for a really long time. And, you know, his mother is Doris Day, you know, and, you know, I got to have a little taste of like old school Hollywood a little bit in that family. But, you know, those kind of guys that, you know, they make a phone call and they could change your life in a minute,
yeah.
you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then after that, I was very grateful to be able to work with his friend, Lou Adler, mm-hmm. you know, so for a little while. And so we started to work a bit, and my career took a path. Actually, while I was working with Lou helped me organize a relationship with Santana. Mm-hmm. My next, you know, mentor, and still is right now, is Mr. Carlos Santana. You know, I've been his lead singer, you know, for some, you know, 16 years now. And you know, I'd say, you know, I'm not the lead singer, because there have been you know, other singers with me. Mm-hmm. And I had moments in time where I was the only singer and stuff, but, you know, that's just a title. Ultimately, mm-hmm. I've been around, you know, and surrounded around, you know, Carlos's group and his energy for you know, this time. And I've been, you know, I've worked with, you know, some amazing singers, man, mm-hmm. like, you know, that I can you know, I can't even express how grateful I am to have learned the way they do it, you know. Yeah. But Carlos Santana himself, and under his leadership, man, I've been you know, very inspired to have him as, you know, a mentor, and still, you know, still teaching, you know. Yeah. And I'm just, you know, always learning something new, you know. I'm every morning I wake up really excited for a whole new day, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Grateful for health and grateful for, mm-hmm. you know, my family and things, and you know, it's really where it's at for me, for you know, the people in my life that have that have directed my life to go a certain way.
And you know, you mentioned, you know, your father being kind of, you know, that musical outlet. Take me back to that, because you know, we talked the other day where it was, you know, you were talking about how your pops was doing mariachi and all that stuff back in the day. How, you know, tell me a little bit about that and how that affected where you're at today.
My dad, Javier Vargas, has always been a musician, and he you know, came to the United States through the San Franciscan ministry. He was studying to be a priest, and he was a brother, and you know, he always played music. It was just natural. He just always played music. And, you know, his, in our family, they're all músicos. Everyone, you know, plays music in Mexico. And ever since I can remember, I've always, gone to see my dad playing music in a band or, in a mariachi band somewhere, you know. He kept his love for music going, and he never stopped playing. He recorded music in Los Angeles at an early age, you know, mariachi records with our family, Mariachi Vargas, and but then continued to do his own thing. He dedicated his life to his family, which I'm very grateful for, in Watsonville, California, and did his built his mariachi in Watsonville, you know. And I'm growing up, I felt the respect from my peers because my dad had gone to go play at, you know, their family's, you know, wedding or, you know, party or something. And I used to have these older kids in high school come to me or grade school, whenever, you know, "Hey, you're Andy? I know you, man. I know your dad, man." You know, like, I used to be like, "Oh," you know. So I in a town, you know, where there's a lot going on, and you got to want to be careful who you know and where you go and stuff. I had a lot of respect through my father. And we still have that. And I'm really grateful for that, you know. His love for music, I hear it, and it just touches me, touches my soul. He turned me on to the first Santana records. He turned me on to my first Michael Jackson records. He turned me on, you know. And there's something when you put that needle on the vinyl and through some nice, you know, speakers. I'll never lose my understanding of that. No matter how far technology is going here today in like pristine sound, there's something just different and a different connection from analog sound. He turned me on to that. You know, he helped me in my fear of audiences, you know, performing in front of audiences, you know, speaking in front of audiences is a different animal. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Because there's a different, there's a peace in the mind that you must have to be able to express yourself. And if your mind's cluttered and all this kind of stuff, you're not going to speak, you know, peacefully, you know. Mm-hmm. And so he helped, you know, when I didn't want to perform, I wanted to go play with the kids, you know, I still had to not be able to go play. You know, if we go to like a festival or a carnival or something, there's all this cool stuff, man. And I'm 13 or I'm, you know, 12. I want to go play. Right. And then, you know, but then now you perform in 2 hours. We got to go back. You got to change. You got to do your vocal warm ups. You got to, you know. Go over the songs and stuff. And so that was my childhood. And from what I can remember, we only have, you know, maybe 10 years, you know, where you can say that was my childhood. And I spent a good 7 years of it doing that, you know, nothing like Michael Jackson, where it was like, you know, big, you know, nothing like that. I'm saying like 7 years of, you know, of where a good portion of my life was, you know, performances and the arts.
In a sense, do you feel that maybe, Your childhood was robbed of the stuff that like some other people maybe have grown up around?
For a while I did, and I was a little bit I felt a little, for a while, my perspective at that time was like, I wish I would have. But as we grow, we learn, you know, that everything has happened in its own divine time, you know. And for me and my faith in God, how he laid out everything for me in the right way, and the way I was supposed to live my life, and the way it was supposed to happen, it was universally divine. It was its perfect way. And my lessons in life, and I hope that I can hang around here long enough to learn some more lessons, you know what I mean? But I don't feel I was robbed at all, man. I felt like that was exactly where it was supposed to be.
You're being trained for it.
Yeah. That was where I was, you know, where it was supposed to be. And you know, a lot of my friends, they went off and, you know, to work in like Apple computers, or some other people went off to start, you know, other businesses and this and that. And you know, I'm still moving, touring, and you know, I feel a lot of my work is just to really stay connected to self, you know, and learn, you know, those go through the, you know, the journeys of that, keep my vocals straight, you know, always look at how I'm creating, you know, more music, and recently venturing into the world of having my own music business, mm-hmm. you know, like my own label, my own, you know, company to help me have my voice yeah. sound heard, yeah. you know.
Well, what was your, before we get into the business of it, what was the aha moment where you were like, dude, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life? Like, you know, people that they'll do it, hobby, whatever. But when that part of you that just clicked and you're like, this is it, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. What was that moment for you?
Well, I think I had two moments. I had one time I was listening, you know, I was like maybe 7 or 8 years old, and I heard the Michael Jackson Thriller record, I think it was, you know, and I had headphones on, and you know when you have those like really big, you know, headphones, those old school headphones,
like the ones you got on now,
yeah, like these, man. You know, you can hear like, you know, so the depth of sound, yeah. And when I heard the style of recording, when I heard Quincy Jones' production, the
nice thick analog,
yeah, man. I mean, I went there, you know, I totally went there, and then, you know, Michael's delivery and voice and soul, you know, and like where he placed his soul on top of all of that, you know, that sound, that let me know that, you know, I mean, I imagined myself like singing those songs, mm-hmm. you know, you know, I think when I knew it was what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, I think I had everyone has their moments, like you said. My moment was, you know, I was the quarterback of my high school football team, and I was a leader also in Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and I went out to a Cal Lutheran here in LA, mm-hmm. and we ended up, you know, going through all of the, you know, the training and football training and stuff. But after, we would have these like prayer groups, you know, and, you know, one time we were praying and stuff, and I had gotten called up and to sing, you know, cause there was a guy that was, you know, leading in yeah. worship and stuff. And I don't know what I got called up to sing. It was pretty, I think he might've gotten word that, you know, that I sing and stuff, but I didn't want to sing, man. I was like, I'm playing football here, bro.
I got an arm.
You know, I'm yeah. yeah, you forget, know, like don't let me do that to these guys. Yeah. You know, they're not gonna want me to lead, you know, yeah. me to lead them on the field. You know, they're gonna be like, man, go and sing. Yeah. You know what I mean? But after that moment, I did get up and sing, and then he pulled me aside. He said, you know what? He goes, you know, he said, you're bred to lead. You're gonna lead, and God wants you to lead with your voice. You know, God wants you to bring people to him with your voice. And I was like, whoa, that just blew my mind. So, and ever since then, you know, we go through our trials and tribulations, and sometimes we go, you know, go off and we get aligned, and then sometimes we get we move off track, you know, in our lives, and then we come back and we feel comfortable, and then something happens and it shakes us back off, and we keep on coming back. But, you know, each time I would always come back and I'd remind myself that this is my calling. This is what I feel people are built in their DNA, you know, like to build, you know, to be built a certain way, you know, something inside there molded them to do something. And when you're not doing that, you're fighting, you know, your calling, you know,
sure.
And when that happens, you know, you're going to be just frustrated your whole life. You know what I mean?
You know, it's funny too, like, you know, Mike's here, and we all started, you know, with the POD crew and doing all that. And you know, when POD signed and finally made it, it was, you know, 10, 12 years after they had, you know, actually started the band. And you see them, you know, that rise and putting in, you know, all that work. How was it for you, like, putting in work and then, like, growing in the entertainment industry and all of a sudden being catapulted to a legendary, you know, a legendary band status, you know, because, you know, you go and you get to be, you know, known, people are knowing who you are, and then all of a sudden you're just thrown in the mix with some musical legends. How was that for you?
Honestly, it was like a dream. It just happened, and you know, I had to just lay back and just kind of soak it all in, you know. And every day I just had to remind myself, because obviously there's a part of my mind that knows this, the level of intensity of this, you know, that I'm, you know, jumping into, to just do your best. You know, there's a reason I think, you know, Carlos, you know, we connected and that he had faith in me to do this job. So all I could just do my best, man, you know. And when you're not doing your best, you know.
Yeah,
well, you know, you know yourself that you're giving it half, and it shows.
Yeah.
You know, so that's it. Just I just said, if you could do your best, then I could at the end of the night come back and be like, man, maybe I messed up here, maybe I didn't just quite catch that. You know, because obviously you want to be perfect. You know, you want to like do it all right. You know, and at the end of the night, you know, and you know, just do your best. That's what I told myself. So I continued to tell myself to, and that all of a sudden, all I realized, you know, years had gone by, and man, I'm still doing it. You know,
What's been a highlight for you, being in the Santana band?
I think a highlight for me was, you know, gosh, it's hard to say. There's been so many amazing experiences. Like, one highlight is really almost impossible to.
Yeah, the whole career with Santana has been one big highlight.
Yeah, pretty much. The whole, you know, I think all of the lessons that I've learned and my change in perception and my growth, my spiritual growth has been my highlight. You know, and the understanding that it's going to continue to grow, and every single day we have an opportunity to get up and do it all over again and live life to its fullest, and understanding that, you know, for me has been my highlight, because you know, that gives me juice, and it gives me, you know, excitement to do it, you know, that show the next day all over again, even better than the one before, out of the, you know, I don't know, thousands of shows
from the last one.
How do you do that? How do you keep that going? You know, and it's, for me, it's you know, just keeping things like really, really fresh, and reminding myself that we're having that experience in life. Now, physically, some of the most amazing visuals that I've seen, you know, are some of the, you know, some of the Colosseums in like Italy, and some of the castles that we've played at. You know, you could see, it sends you back almost in time a little bit, you know, and you're like, you know, it lets you know, you know, you're a part of this whole thing in this world, and life has been happening for so long, man. You know, the history of these places just blow me away. And then to be able to play the music there and, you know, start this rumble and this vibration and stuff, it's pretty cool, you know. You know, I've just seen so many beautiful places. This whole world is just, you know, is amazing. And you know, and I'm grateful to have been able to see it, because I know not many people get to travel. Tickets cost so much, man,
and especially like that, at the level that you've traveled, people, I mean, I can't even imagine. You've probably seen the world 20 times over.
And you know what, and just like my brothers in POD, you know, just like my brothers in POD, you know, we have to know that it's a blessing, and it's a responsibility that when, you know, when that you hold, when you go and you take your music and your energy around the world to uphold a persona, you know, I respect all human beings, all musicians, you know, I respect, you know, all artists and styles of music, you know, to the fullest and stuff. But just like there's people, you know, promoting an artist, you know, promoting their lifestyles, that may not be congruent to mine, you know. You know, they can. Everyone, we have a freedom to speak however we want and say whatever we want. And I, you know, I'm also a DJ, so like I filter a lot of music through me, you know. Some things, you know, that I don't catch, all of a sudden I play a song and I'm like, oh shoot, did they just say that for real? You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, everyone has, you know, freedom to do what they want. But if that's the case, you know, then, you know, this is what I want to say. This is the energy that I want to provide. I want to, you know, like, you know, not be anti, you know, I don't want to be anti, but I want to be fulfilling in this area of, you know, positivity, inspiration, leadership, and share those things to not just to other people my age as well as children. Mm-hmm. Because when they see, you know, it may not come in me talking directly to someone, they might just see me do a certain thing or not do a certain thing, and that might click, and that might be the light. You know,
sometimes the things you don't do are just important as the things that you actually do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, and you know, knowing, like, you know, we're just talking about the highlights of being out, you know, in Hollywood and all, you know, just mm-hmm. everything that an outsider sees that, oh my God, this is just so great. Let's take it to the other side of the spectrum and take me through some of the lows, because, you know, I talk to a lot of artists and, you know, actors, everything. And I'm like, man, like, let's clear up some of the deception. You know, some people are sometimes deceived by the Hollywood and the lights and thinking everything is always, you know, peaches and cream. But there's stuff that people go through, man, that you don't understand. You only see what's on stage or, you know, the interviews or whatever. But, you know, there's stuff that you miss when you're on the road. There's lows that you hit. There's family problems. There's issues that go on that people don't understand, you know, when you're involved in the entertainment industry. Everybody goes through those. Have you gone through anything that you can talk about?
I have a list.
Yeah.
You know, I have a list. I think that the lows have, you know, being able to work through and climb over every mountain and jump over every hurdle, have, you know, it strengthens you. You know, when you go through a low and you go through a depression, and I could, you know, speak about a couple of things right now. But when you do that, when you just, if you could just sit in your seat, you know, if you're, you know, if you want to jump off a cliff, you know, but if you force yourself to sit in that seat for as long as you can, you know what? The truth is, this too shall pass, you know? And I know there's, you know, cause I've, you know, talked to many different people around the world with, you know, many different, you know, faith-based, you know, beliefs, you know, religious beliefs and things. And, you know, they can all just say that this too shall pass with an understanding and a belief in a higher power, you know? And, you know, going back a little bit to, you know, being, you know, young in the music business, you know, from, you know, moving from Watsonville right out of high school into LA, and, you know, wanting to immediately be with, like, you know, the artists that were really doing the thing, you know, going out to the clubs with the, you know, with the entourage and in the studios, you know, with the entourage and, you know, making those beats and recording those, you know, that music that just made you move and stuff, wanting to be that and wanting to be a part of that. I can remember a lot of times, just feeling empty, you know, you know, just trying, you know, to figure out what it was that I was to do within it, you know, what was my sound, you know, what was, you know, because I worked with so many different producers and I worked with so many writers and stuff. You know, I was working with a label that put me with everyone. The good things that I learned in there was, like, you know, the business side of the music business and writing and publishing, how to produce records inside of these big studios, learning about frequencies and these huge mixing boards, you know, SSL boards and these rack mounts and sound and microphone styles and, you know, recording styles, you know, with microphones and instruments and analog sounds. I love that stuff. So I learned a lot during that time. But, you know, and I get inspired, as you can tell, when I talk about it. But, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, I'd growing up, there's, you know, a lot of politics, people working with you, a lot of egos and stuff, and you have to like learn. I had to learn how to not let it affect me, even though I did. You know, my family was a big support. You know, my family was a huge support in helping me, you know, just hold on and just get through it. They would always tell me to pray. You know, my grandpa would always tell me to pray. He'd always tell me to read my contracts. He said, you know, take a hold of your life. Don't just like, you know, say it's cool and sign on the dotted line for whatever it is, you know. And, you know, I, later on in life, you know, when you move so fast, you know, I jumped into this like touring lifestyle and moving really fast, you know, a lot of trials and tribulations on the road of people, you know, pulling at you left and right. And, you know, I had, you know, some very close people in my life, you know, pass away, and you know, you just, when you're traveling, you miss a lot of that. And you come home and then you see life, you know, people growing and changing. And, you know, I know I have my only brother, you know, he lives in town in Watsonville. And, you know, he, his name's Eric, you know, he stayed in town to stay. I remember he told me in college, you know, he went to college a couple hours away, but he stayed close because he wanted to stay close to the family and stay close to my grandfather, who was suffering from Parkinson's. And, you know, that was his calling. You know, his calling was to be there really close and to be close to the family. And I always had a little bit of like a pulling away from that. I had a guilt that I didn't do that. You know, that I, you know, pursued music and things. And what was really, really amazing is my family never hold that against me. They always said, we support you and we want you to do and pursue your dream. And they still do. You know, I mean, you know, I've had some opportunities to, you know, release music and stuff in the past, or, you know, work with record companies and things. And for whatever reason, it never reached that point to where, you know, it shot out into the universe, you know. And, you know, I think, you know, for whatever reason that, you know, that is, it's all divine time. You know, everyone has their own time to be able to do that when it is their time. But they never made me feel guilty for it, or they never said, hey, man, you got to throw in the towel. Mm-hmm. You know, I have an uncle that sometimes says, hey, man, come into town and like put together a band and start like, you know, making some like money here in town, man. Like, mm-hmm. You know, but you know, I love what I do. I love singing in front of these audiences with Carlos, you know. Mm-hmm. And when I'm not working with Carlos, I actually, you know, I work just as hard on other things, you know, to be able to support my life and my family as well.
Take me into that, because now, you know, we talked about you have the Soleros, you know. I mean, you got a lot of stuff going on, you know, even on the business side of it. You know, tell me about like the label and the stuff that you got, you know, that you were about to release, all the stuff you got going.
So some years ago, my brother from here, from San Diego, I mentioned his name, Chuck Prada, and I started working on some music. I had this idea to use the influence that I had from my dad's, you know, mariachi music, and then my R&B and funk and you know, bolero influence. And, you know, just mix it all together. And I came up with the concept of the name Soleros, you know, boleros with soul.
I like
And then sol, and then eros is, you know, the sun, and then eros is the god of love. You know, just romantical music, you know. Yeah. And up-tempo beats, hip-hop, whatever, just but mixed with some Spanish stuff. And we worked for like a year straight in the studio just making music. And, you know, I just continued with that, even though touring took a lot of my life. I kept it going. I kept writing, and I worked with a bunch of different writers still. And every time I'd get together with them, I'd bring that kind of vibe and that sound. But I never put it into the, you know, I never released it really. Mm-hmm. You know, I would go and I'd perform shows, but I never organized it, put it together, you know, finished, mixed it, mastered it, mm-hmm. you know, shot a video to it, all the things that you want to do to be able to present music to, you know, to the public, right? And so Soleros became the brand, the style, and it also became the record company. I was able to unite with a couple of, you know, of good friends that helped me get together and show me the business of how to turn something into that. Mm-hmm. And that gave me the flexibility to be able to make a, you know, have the means to put together the mix, the master, the video and stuff, you know?
All the stuff that you picked up along the way.
Along the way.
You had to do for yourself.
Yeah, so like, you know, now that we're grinding on it, you know.
Where can we find that, by the way?
So right now you can go to andyvargas.com and you can see it holds all of, encompasses and umbrellas all of my social medias, my YouTube, you know, my links to where you can purchase, you know, my the music that I just recently released. The song is called The Beat. It's The Beat in English, and in Spanish I recorded it in Spanish, and it's called El Beat, you know. And then, you know, and then I also have
El Beat.
Yeah, and I also have a remix that I did, and that is, you know, remixed by Richard Vision, the DJ. And you know, man, I got to just have a 1 minute just to say that I followed him, you know, back in San Francisco, you know, and the way that he did his music and DJed and produced and was selling his records and doing that independently. And he's been doing it, you know, for a minute. He's one of the cats, you know, and he's still around killing it. He has the longest nighttime house music show. You know, he never went EDM, like house music show on Power 106, the longest going, you know, show. And it's called Power Tools. And have my song be played on his radio show, you know, dope. it was just heavy, man. And, you know, and I've, one thing that I left out was I've been a DJ, you know, the way I started to DJ was when my dad would go and play with his mariachi. I wanted to be, you know, like I wanted to still do what I wanted to do, you know, mariachi and singing with my dad was what he wanted me to do, right? But I wanted to do what I wanted to do, so I would DJ for the weddings that he would perform for. But they would still have me go up and sing a song, but I'd come back and I'd be the, you know, I would, you know, say, you know, and now for the garter toss, you know what I mean? I was doing that whole thing, and I could still do it. I love doing it. I love, you know, providing the entertainment and stuff. And I was playing cassettes, you know, from putting the record on, you know, with the realistic, you know, Radio Shack mixer to, you know, like I was doing it like we all do, you know, like we all did, you know, that microphone input in the back of those suckers, you know, look at what we're using now. This is phenomenal. I used to have radio shows like this with my cousin in my room, you know, when I was a kid, you know, and I used to talk to them, and we used to have this radio show, so this is quite ironic. But anyways, let me circle back to, you know, Soleros. So the brand Soleros and the label Soleros, we're building all of, you know, that media and that, you know, stuff on the internet right now. But I'd like to send everybody to andyvargas.com, and my social media is Andy Vargas Music. The song is called The Beat. You know, it's a single. We just released it, and the video will be coming out in a week or two. You know, and also the remix is going to be out there, pumping out there a little bit. In the next couple of months, you know, I have another single that I'll be releasing, and I also have a Christmas song that I'll be releasing in November. And that's, you know, called On Christmas Eve. It's a song that was written by Bobby Womack. And, you know, I, you know, love this song, man. I recorded it and released it last year, but we're gonna do a new video to it and re-release it this year. And yeah, you know, I think this is a, you know, this is gonna be a new venture for me. So, you know, I still join you know, and work with Carlos, and just, you know, when I'm not working with Carlos, it gives me something to do, you know, and to be fulfilled about.
We're gonna be hearing any collabs on the album?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely. I'm not exactly 100%. I haven't completely finished some recordings, you know, like I'm in communication with some people. I have Marcos Cruel, you know, playing on one of the songs already. We've recorded, you know, on a real happening bolero.
Well, he has a Santana kind of vibe every now and then.
He totally does, yeah.
You going to get Santana to do anything?
And so Carlos and I, we've done some already, and we've been talking about it, but it's all about timing. If we can time it to where, you know, I can, you know, do it with him, I'd be ever so grateful. But you know, we'll see, and hopefully there's some more collaborations that can come from it, you know.
If you need me to rap, let me know. I'll come out of retirement to come in.
Man, I'll tell you right now, man, you never know, man. Come on. You know, I have a studio in LA, you know. I partnered with some partners over there in North Hollywood. We're working on music there nightly. There's always something going on. You know, I've got a producer, his name's Vision, not Richard Humpty Vision, a different Vision. He's up in there producing, you know, nightly. Another partner, DJ Reggie Escobar, and then also my buddy John Blue, his name's he's a rapper as well, and he's also you know, an engineer, and so he, you know, we all partner up together. The studio is called the Triangle Room. You can check it out, triangleroom.com, cool, and see some of the gear we have. We have some analog gear, digital gear, and stuff. And we record drums insane, like very, very, very well.
Are you going to be recording a lot of this analog?
Yes. Oh,
just
yeah.
Just to get that sound.
Before I forget, my producer and partner in the song The Beat, his name's Michael Carey. We recorded, you know, the beat over at his studio. And it was all like analog, and you know, like we had, you know, we had the help of Pro Tools to do editing and stuff, but mostly it was all recorded analog, man. Yeah.
And you know, before we wrap up, I know you got just on the business side of stuff. What are other ways that you're kind of branching out from singing? Because you know, there's always other, like publishing. You got the record label. You doing any acting, any of that stuff?
No acting yet. I've been wanting to actually do some you know, some work with, you know, an acting class, because it's all about getting up and doing it in front of, practicing your acting art in front of people. I've been wanting to do that, but I know it takes, like, I like to devote 100% time, and it's been a little difficult to be able to do that. But I think. You know, the merchandise aspect of things are going to, you know, be natural, you know, that we put some, you know, our brand on clothing. And but I right now I really want to
do a lot of stuff with Sullen.
Oh yes. Yeah, definitely. I've worked with Jeremy and Ryan for many years. They've been a huge support of mine. We actually released some music together. I gave them some songs for their compilation, and I'll probably be doing some, you know, some more songs with them for this next, you know, compilation that they have coming out. I also recorded some music with a friend of mine named Mark Casa from Detroit, with a group called Slight Return, and it's Detroit funk. Some serious funk, you know. He's worked with George Clinton and you know, a bunch of cats from over there. That record was just released, and I know that by the end of this year, beginning of next year, we're going to give it a really big push. But you know, the part of the reason I say that is because that's another venture that, you know, that I have happening right now, that I think we're going to release some of that music with Sullen. And you know, they release music, you know, every Sullen music, you know, every year, 2 years, they do a compilation and stuff. But the guys, you know, over there, and the family, the video team, I mean, you know, they have it all together. They have a social media department, they have the Sullen Angels and stuff. And so, you know, it's like everyone, you know, is out there doing and working, and it's a real cool group of people. I've known them for many years, and ever since I actually contacted them because I liked, you know, Big Gus. He had a shirt, you know, the tattoo artist Big Gus had a shirt, and I was in Santa Cruz and I saw the, you know, the shirt, and I was like all about this art. I didn't know who, what, where, how. This is when they were just starting, right? And so I kind of contacted them right at the beginning of the whole thing, you know.
No, that's cool, man. And you also have I think it's Behringer microphones, or so, working with
different... So some of the collaborations that I have, Behringer, the company, I've worked with them on a couple of different you know, pieces of gear that they have. But right now, the company that that I'm really excited about working with, and we're working with each other almost daily, is QSC Audio. They have sound equipment, mixers, and speakers, amplifiers, and stuff. And my DJ company provides QSC Audio.
Nice.
Let's see, 64 audio ears. The ears inside.
Also, before we go, talking about the Christmas album, I got to put you on blast here. You're gonna come down to San Diego and promote some of that Christmas stuff.
So, man, I just wanted to say thank you for inviting me to come here and perform for you guys. The Christmas song that I have on Christmas Eve is going to be like the song I'm going to lead with for that show. Yes. But we want to raise a huge truck full of toys, man, is what we want to do. And I'm going to reach out to a lot of my different peeps and organizations out in LA, come down like Santa Claus, and then come down and bring some music. But I'm going to perform, maybe I'll perform some Santana song, some of my own, material, and have like a new show that I have.
Nice.
Put together for, directly for nice. For this. I think, what is the date that we're doing
December 11th, we're going to have the 7th annual Love Thy Neighbor Toy Drive in San Isidro.
Okay. December 7th.
Yep.
December 7th. Love Thy Neighbor.
So, what's that? The 7th annual. Yep. 7th annual.
Toy Drive. So, the 7th annual, but December 7th, the 7th annual?
December 11th.
Oh, I'm sorry. 11th, yeah. December 11th.
Yeah.
Okay.
7th annual Toy Drive. But yeah, thank you for that, man. So I'm inviting Andy to come down and promote the toy drive and promote his Christmas stuff. So the listeners know we're gonna have a little treat. Can't wait for that.
And that's gonna be really exciting. Anything that you need me to do to come here and hang out and spread the word. You know, that's what we want to do, is spread the word for the bring as many people there as possible, and then see how many organizations can come and want to be involved with us. Make it as big as possible.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man. Looking forward to that.
Yeah,
but I don't want to take up too much of your time. Maybe we can do a part two of it back in December and kind of catch up.
Cool, you got it.
I know you probably got a sound check and go. By the way, Andy has a show tonight here in San Diego with Santana, and we're just kind of snuck in his hotel room to come do this interview real quick. So. Good looking out. Thanks for doing this and taking the time out of your busy schedule.
You. Thank you for doing this. This is,
No, man, you're the man. Anything else you want to plug up real quick?
You know what? I want to say, to everyone, everyone who's listening, that I'm internally grateful for everyone that's, followed, my energy and my career. People have shared that with me that they have, and I'm just really grateful because now hopefully we can use some of our life experiences to share, and anyone who's listening to use your life experiences to share to someone else. Mm-hmm. And
your influence,
use your influences and your faith and your belief, and lighten up someone else's, give an opportunity to lighten someone else's life. Yeah. You gotta give it to keep it. You gotta share it.
That's for real.
Well,
there you have it. Andy Vargas Music, AndyVargas.com.
Right? Yes.
AndyVargas.com. All the Facebook listeners and watchers, audience out there. Thanks for coming by, man. And hopefully we can catch up again in December. And we will let you go, man. Thank you. And those that haven't bought their tickets, go get your tickets. Go watch. Andy, you play, where's it going to be at the, in San Diego State, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yep, San Diego State Arena, Carlos Santana playing live tonight with your boy Andy Vargas, and that's how we doing it.
All right.
We are out of here, connected with Andy Vargas. You out.